episode 105. Welcome to the Take Up Code podcast, where you can learn valuable insights and skills in programming. I'm Waheed Tanner and will be your host today. What are synchronous and asynchronous methods, and how do you use them? The best way to become a professional programmer is to start writing code. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. Have you considered attending a Take Up Code live class? Text PROGRAM to the short number 44222 and you'll be on your way. Sometimes we expect an answer or a result right away, and sometimes it might take a while. And sometimes what we thought would be quick turns out to take longer. If I ask you what's the current time, then I expect some kind of answer, even if that answer is, I don't know. And if I ask you for a favor, then I usually expect that you'll start soon, but probably not right away. What if you're in the middle of an important phone call and I ask you for the time? It might take a little longer, right? Or if the favor is small and you're not doing anything at the moment, then you might be glad to help immediately. The point is, we can't be sure how long something will take in the real world, and the same thing is true in programming. A method that runs right away is called synchronous, and a method that runs later is called asynchronous. We normally have an idea if something can be done right away or not, and it helps to plan one way or another. Calling a method is the same, or at least it should be. Here's what I mean. Most methods that you call will be very clear if they run right away or not. This is because when a method can run later, then there needs to be some way for the asynchronous method to communicate back to you when it's done. Sure, it's possible to design a system where method calls look synchronous and there's some roundabout way to find out when they complete and get the results, but I wouldn't want to use a system like that. It's just too confusing. Let's take a simple method called removeCakeFromOven that returns void and takes no parameters. If I had code that called such a method, then I'd expect the method to begin running right away and complete fairly soon in a synchronous manner. In fact, the normal method calling protocol causes my code to stop running and the processor goes right into the removeCakeFromOven code. When the removeCakeFromOven code eventually hits a return statement, then it's done, and the processor switches back to the next line in my code right after I called the removeCakeFromOven method. In other words, my code continues running right where it left off. There's a built-in ability to synchronize the call of this type of method with its return. That's why normal methods like this are called synchronous. And it's important to realize that all of this is done in the same thread. Just calling a method doesn't switch threads. However, calling a method that's designed to run asynchronously will look very different. This is because there's two parts to an asynchronous method. The first part is actually just a normal synchronous method that has some extra parameters, or maybe it uses a special return type to allow you to know when it completes and when your result is ready. If some code calls an asynchronous method, then the same blocking happens. The processor will stop running the code in the calling method and switch into the asynchronous method. And again, this will all be done in the same thread. You can't just switch threads by calling a method. What changes is the behavior of the asynchronous method. Instead of taking the time to complete the operation right away, it creates a new thread. Or maybe it uses a thread that's already waiting. One way or another, though, it needs to bring in another thread that will actually do the work. The thread is given all the information it needs and then left to run in its own time. Once this is done, then the asynchronous method returns with some information about the thread it just launched. The calling code can then use that information to later get the results. So even an asynchronous method is really just a synchronous method that begins another thread and returns right away. It's called asynchronous because it's the result that the calling thread's looking for, and that result can come back in its own time. I'll explain how asynchronous methods return right after this message from our sponsor. The one thing that all professional programmers share is that we take action. Go ahead. text PROGRAM to the number 44222 now. It's hard, I know, to get started, and if you need some help, then all you need to do is register for one of the Take Up Code free or paid live classes. You can attend with just your computer and an internet connection from anywhere in the world. These are live workshops instead of just lectures. You get enough lecturing already. These are fun workshops. You have enough boring tasks already. And these are focused on results. Text the word PROGRAM to the number 44222 and you'll be on your way. You can also visit takeupcode.com to begin. If you remember nothing else from this episode, just remember that method calls are always run by the thread making the call. This could be a normal method, a class method, a pointer to a method or a delegate, a functor, which is really a class that overrides the method call operator, a lambda, or a closure. It doesn't matter. Whenever you actually make a method call, it will be done on the current thread. This is one situation where real life can sometimes be very similar to computers and also quite different. Let's say that you represent a thread and your friend is another thread. This is a good analogy because you can be doing things and your friend can be doing different things all at the same time. Now you ask your friend to bring you lunch. In a way, this is like calling an asynchronous method. You take the time to communicate the desire for lunch and then continue about your other business. Sometime later, your friend comes back and hands you your lunch. This is the part where programming is different from real life. In real life, you and your friend can interact directly. In programming, threads don't have this level of interaction. The way the lunch would be returned in programming terms means that your friend would come back, place your lunch in some predetermined location, and then signal an event. Your friend would then go back to some other task. You wouldn't be able to see your friend walk up to you. Threads can't see each other like that. You might be able to keep checking the predetermined location to see if the lunch sort of magically appears. This is called polling and is not very efficient. Just imagine yourself continually walking up to the refrigerator and seeing the empty location, going back to your work, and getting up again to check the refrigerator. You'll get tired of this real quick, and so does the computer. A much better way would be for you to wait for the signal. You could even wait for a specified amount of time, and if the signal still hasn't arrived, then go do some work for a while, and then wait for the signal again. Waiting for the signal is like going to sleep for a while. This is much better. I'll continue a similar topic in the next episode. For now, though, you should also realize that the task running in the other thread asynchronously needs its own locks. If you're holding the lock to the refrigerator the whole time that you're waiting for your lunch, then you're going to go hungry. Because the other thread, your friend in this example, will wait for the lock before placing the lunch in the refrigerator. Your friend can be standing right next to the refrigerator trying to put your lunch inside, but unable to make any progress because you have the door open. The lunch never appears, and the signal never gets sent. Thank you for listening. Make sure to check out the other episodes, and if you get value, please give the Take Up Code podcast a rating, hopefully 5 stars, and a review. I'll select several people who take the time to provide thoughtful reviews, good or bad, and give you a shout-out and a big thank you during our Q&A Fridays. Your support goes a long way to helping this podcast thrive and help others learn how to program. If you have any questions about this episode or even other programming questions, please ask. Just go to takeupcode.com/contact and submit your question. The Q&A Friday episodes are where I'll answer one or more submitted questions. Until next time, keep learning. But even better, keep doing. If you want to learn how to program, then start programming. And you'll learn and get better, and your mind will expand in ways you never thought possible.